Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Dr. Cleve Stevens is founder and president of Los Angeles-based OWL, that's O-W-L, Site Intentions, an established authority on the psychology of leadership and the technology of leadership and organizational transformation. He's been formally engaged in the field of leadership development for more than 20 years. He served as an advisor and leadership development consultant to top business leaders in Fortune 500 companies in North America, Europe, and Asia. Cleve has taught business leadership at the graduate and undergraduate level at the University of Southern California, Beijing University, and Northeastern University, China. Welcome to Edgewise, Cleve.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Cleve, what do you mean by transformational leadership, and why is it relevant in today's business climate?
The best way to understand transformational leadership is in comparison to transactional leadership, which is the vast majority of leadership. Most experts say that it's about 90-95% of leaders operate largely transactionally.
Right.
Transformational leadership says my job as a leader is to have my people develop and grow and be bigger, stronger, smarter, and better, but not just as business people, as human beings. And in that process, my second job is to make sure that I am growing and I am expanding my range as a leader and as a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Transactional leadership, on the other hand, is not bad. It's just the norm. It's an exchange where the leader says, I have something that you want, which is money, and you have something that I want, which is labor. So let's make a trade. The objective there is exclusively the results. The objective in transformational leadership is a different kind of results that include the bottom line, but transcend it.
Okay, now does transformational leadership have more value in terms of helping companies cope with this recession?
Without a doubt. And I have a lot of evidence to support that. The reason is transformational leadership brings out qualities of commitment, of creativity, of enthusiasm and passion that allow organizations to think and operate from bigger and better places, from the top down. That's the ultimate objective. And as a result of that, in the face of recession, a great deal of creativity can emerge in a transformational ethos that absolutely is not present in the more traditional or conventional leadership domain.
And you think it can also address some of the problems we've been recently experiencing, like British Petroleum?
Absolutely.
Or Goldman Sachs, the financial crisis?
No doubt. I think that may be the primary reason it's becoming topical and it's so important today. The transformational sensibility says, I have a commitment to something higher than the bottom line. It includes the bottom line, but there's something higher, which in fact, without being moralistic, is a more moral approach to leadership. But the objective is not to be good. The objective is to do good. And there's a big difference. Central to the transformational leadership that I practice is the notion of intentionality, which says, I am cause, not the economy, not my colleagues, not the industry, not mom and dad, not the church. I am cause. And how do I go about being cause in spite of the economy?
So you put the burden on the leaders at all levels of an organization.
Absolutely. Because leadership is not a position. Leadership is a state of mind and a way of being, and therefore a way of doing. But we're not all leaders. In fact, most people that call themselves leaders really aren't leaders. They're managers, which is an important role. But there's a distinction between leading and managing. So you can be a leader genuinely. Mm-hmm. It's a state of mind that says, I am the agent that's going to cause a specific kind of outcome. It's going to turn out because I say so, not because it's easy or it's doable. I make it doable.
Well, the thing about transformational leadership is it generates change, and it ensures the closure of strategy gaps. An idea comes out and it is achieved.
Oh, absolutely. That is the central focus. First of all, change, as Heraclitus so famously put it, is the one constant. The problem is most people are fundamentally resistant to change. We're all at some level resistant.
Yep.
Transformational leadership says change is happening. So you got to decide if you are going to lead the change or be led by it.
Right.
So, well, transformation, what does it mean? It means radical change. So the idea is to be out in front of that change, to be the director of, not simply the responder to. Change.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
But transactional leadership has worked for generations. What caused the need to change?
There are several things that are fundamentally different about where we are today as a society, and I mean globally. Everything happens at an instantaneous rate. Everything is transparent, whether we want it to be or not. And people are more aware and awake. They're not going to settle for the same sorts of approaches.
Okay.
Transactional leadership is not bad. It just doesn't go far enough. It's served us for a long time. But the truth of the matter is, if we are to really elevate the game and, quite frankly, keep from going off the cliff economically, we have got to find a more creative way to express ourselves as leaders.
Uh-huh.
We pulled back from the cliff, but we haven't changed anything yet.
Well, that's true.
And transformational leadership offers that. It's difficult to do.
Sure.
But the results are exquisite.
All right. But there's another issue, and that's there were layoffs in the past, but often people could come back. It was short-term layoffs. You always had that guarantee that you would still be employed. Right now, that guarantee doesn't exist in almost any workforce.
It doesn't exist because everything is so transient in our culture. That goes back to the instantaneous nature of things. 40 years ago, a person entering the workforce could plan to more or less retire with a company they entered.
Exactly.
Today, the average college student entering the workforce, if they can get a job at all, can expect to have at least 6 different corporate positions in separate organizations, many close to 10 or 12.
Well, a lot of people are going to say, business is supposed to be tough. I'm the boss. Is that person really a leader or is he a manager?
He can be a leader and a manager, but the style is top down. They say it's business. Don't take it personally, which is completely preposterous. Business is not, and it never has been, a free-floating abstraction where people are the means to the end. But that's how we've operated. People are the means to the end, and the end is profits, period. Now, the transformational approach is very tough. It's caring, but it's the furthest thing from soft. If I'm a leader and I invest my psychological, intellectual, and emotional energy into my direct reports and really pour myself into them, am I going to expect less or more? Obviously, I'm going to expect more.
Right.
And so the demand goes up, but you also begin to connect at a human level with your employees, with your peers, with your boss. Everybody's got a boss. Even the CEO has a boss. And you begin to connect at a different level. You begin to speak honestly. So it is soft only in one sense, in the sense that you begin to experience yourself as a more connected and, quite frankly, powerful and alive human being.
Well, you also become responsible for your employees' development to some extent.
But that's the challenge. The challenge is my job is not just how they do here. My job is how they do in life. That's the thing that shocks most people. Isn't it 9 to 5? No, it's not. Business affects us at all levels. It doesn't stop when we walk out the door. We take it home with us, whether we're conscious of it or not. How we lead our people absolutely affects how they are with their kids when they go home, how they are with their peers and their spouse when they go home.
Uh-huh. Sure.
The fact is, we have an interconnected reality that's called the human condition, and it doesn't stop at the office door. So as leaders, whether we like it or not, we're having that effect.
Of course.
Transformational leadership says, why don't you wake up and own it so that you can make sure you have the certain kind of effect that you want?
Right.
Could it be a good effect? Absolutely. And that's what transformational leadership says.
Well, that's very interesting because as people take the worst part of the office home with them, that creates additional stress. And the next day, they bring it right back into the office.
That's exactly right.
And it impacts their work.
Mm-hmm. Think about it. People spend the majority of their waking hours not with the people they love the most, but with the people they work with. That affects them. So they go home at night a certain way and it gets magnified at home. It doesn't dissipate. And they come back the next day with those same things going on and maybe stronger. What if the people went home at night feeling great about what they're getting done and who they're becoming and what they've accomplished? They're going to go home differently. And they're going to come back the next day with a greater degree of passion, commitment, loyalty, creativity, a willingness to go the extra mile without being asked, because I, the leader, invested in who they are intelligently, lovingly, and toughly.
Right. Now, the reward seems so great.
Yes.
Does it require a lot of work on the part of leaders?
The short answer is yes.
And when I use the word leaders, I mean everybody who has a leadership role throughout an organization.
I'm not going to pretend that it's easy. People will hear the idea of transformational leadership and say, let's try it. And then they realize that it requires that they not only grow their people, but they grow themselves. And that scares people. Leaders have this delusion that they're supposed to know it all. The truth is nobody does, and everybody knows you don't.
Right.
Transformational leadership says, let's begin to grow ourselves as well as our people. And that's the most challenging piece of it. But it's also the most exciting because when I am working with clients and I see them begin to light up and get inspired about what's happening in their life as human beings, as well as leaders, and then watch them begin to transfer that to their people. There are a few things that are more exciting than that from my vantage point.
All right. So what's the biggest challenge you've had in getting an organization to move toward transformational leadership?
The biggest challenge is getting the CEO to accept the fact that it's okay for him to not know it all and that he can be with his executive team and reveal the fact that he's got stuff to work on, that he's still in the process called life and not a completed package. The second thing is getting these leaders to really understand that if you want to dramatically improve profits, take your eyes off of profits for a moment.
Right.
It's counterintuitive. Focus on your people. You implement this, the profits will begin to soar without fail if you do it fully. So it's getting the CEO to understand the cause and effect relationship between really challenging and caring for your people, really pushing them and seeing that, yes, in fact, the bottom line is going to go up. Getting them to make that connection is tough.
Right. Now, I know you've worked with a lot of companies, for example, Cox Arizona, which is the flagship company of Cox Communications.
Right.
Tell us about what happened there.
When I began working with Cox 5 or 6 years ago, they were under new leadership, a brilliant leader who was profoundly committed to playing a bigger game. He had basically remade his executive team when I came in, and he asked me to help him develop that team and to bring in this idea of transformational leadership throughout the organization. So I began working with him and his team and began to push them very hard. They accepted they could really do something that had not been done before. They accepted that they were the agents of cause, not the economy, not anybody else. They accepted that they had a lot of work to do on themselves as well as on their people, and things began to take off. They went from $700 million to $1.3 billion in a little more than 2 years, about 28 months. And it was astonishing. Another thing was during the recession in 2009, they were supposed to lose customers by all projections, and they gained customers dramatically.
No kidding.
They were and are the envy of the cable communications world. And it's because the leader, Steve Risley, and his very talented staff were unafraid to look at themselves at a deep level, to imagine what was possible, and to play the game in a big, big way.
So what can leaders do? What is the advice there?
One of the things that I say to my clients is there's no virtue in playing small. Most people are addicted to comfort. Most people are addicted to the way it is. Even if they're miserable, they're addicted to it because they're familiar with it.
Right.
The world needs people to play big and to play big with good and right intentions. When leaders who are talented begin to understand that they've been playing relatively small games, they begin to see bigger possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened for Steve Risley, who by himself was a brilliant leader. I would love to say that they succeeded exclusively because I'm just so amazing. But the fact of the matter is, we were a great team and they are brilliant.
And Cleve, can you give us an example of how Cox Arizona changed the way it operated?
They begin to operate from a mindset that's called intentionality. Intentionality is the highest level of commitment. Intentionality says, we are going to have this thing turn out because we say so, because we believe it's good and right and true.
Yeah.
That team, led by this amazing leader, truly embraced this idea of intentionality. And at the core of it is this other thing called responsibility. I am the agent of cause, and why not cause something big?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to stop being causal. And so why don't we own the cause and direct the cause and have the cause lead to the outcome that we choose? So they embraced that mentality. They were smart. They got it. It's scary. Most leaders do not want to accept their causality. They want it to be somebody else's causality, unless it really works, and then they want it to be cause.
Okay.
It's getting that you really are the generator. And that's what they got. That's the biggest thing that shifted. And I say shifted because Steve Risley and two or three of his people already operated that way. What I gave them was an understanding of what they were doing so they could direct it more powerfully, so they could get other people to operate the way they were operating, which led to an exquisitely, deeply committed team and a vision that is astonishingly beautiful, which led to 3,000 employees lit up from top to bottom about what they are, who they are, what they can be, what their company is about.
That's wonderful.
These people are lit because they're challenged and cared for and pushed, and they know their leaders give a damn about them. And that doesn't mean they're soft. Yeah, sometimes they put their arm around them and say, good job. Other times they say, get over there. You said you were going to be over there. What do you need from me? Let's go. So accountability goes up, but so does joy. So does passion.
Well, I can see what could happen if Risley or one of his team members realized there was a shortage of skills in an area, and if he saw there was a need for additional staff, he addressed it.
And if he saw that who he had in the position was the wrong person, he got rid of them. You see, confrontation is a huge thing that we avoid, and transformational leadership says we always have to tell the truth. And if who we have is in the wrong position, we either move them to the right position or we move them out. Because if they're in the wrong position, they're suffering too.
Right.
That's definitely true.
It's not every child gets a toy. It's a merit-based sensibility where performance matters. But the difference is, I'm going to help you get there. I'm going to find what it takes. And I don't mean I'm going to give you the technical skills. I'm going to have you become more courageous and more gutsy and more caring and more trusting, because that's what's keeping you from playing big.
So the focus isn't always on giving people technical skills, but on giving them soft skills.
What we call soft skills, which are the toughest skills to grow. We call them soft because they scare the hell out of us and we want to demean them. But the truth of the matter is they are what cause leaders to be great, and the lack thereof causes leaders to fail.
Absolutely.
These are ways of being: vision, intelligence, courage, compassion, confidence, trust.
Right.
And without these ways of being, without being intentional, nothing gets done.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. But even in today's deep recession?
Especially in today's deep recession, beyond any shadow of a doubt, where people go when we go into a recession is, my hands are tied. I can't do anything. And so we become less effective. What we have to do is say, okay, there are some limitations placed on me, but I am committed to having this outcome be. Mm-hmm. I don't back away. I dive in. It's still a challenge, but there are organizations that have continued to thrive right through the downturn.
All right. Now, what's behind that?
They're led by people who have guts. Yes, some are fortunate to be in the right industry, but by and large, you look at those organizations that have continued to flourish, and they have leaders that say, opportunity, make it happen, period.
All right. What about the CEO or even a manager of an organization who says, my team is doing fine. We're making budget. Everything is good. Why should I change?
You can't make somebody that doesn't want to play bigger change unless they, at a deep level, know that I'm doing fine in a transactional mode, but in a transformational mode, I could magnify it tenfold if I was willing to pay the price.
And what advice can you offer them?
What I do is I get them to imagine what could be. What if you really elevated the game? Would you like to magnify not only your bottom line, but the quality of your experience as a leader and the joy you bring to your people? Now, if they say no to that, then fine, you go back to your transactional ways. But if you want to wake up and play big, let's go.
Okay, so is there a downside to transformational leadership?
The downside is it takes guts. The downside is you can't operate the way you've always operated. The downside is you got to be honest. We don't know how to be honest in our culture. We have wonderfully graceful ways of lying to each other that are socially accepted. But in the transformational ethos, you learn to tell the truth. It's from caring, but you tell the truth. When somebody's off, you don't sit back and think, that's not a good idea. You tell them. You take the risk of saying, you're out to lunch on this one. And I'm saying that because I care about you and us. Mm-hmm. You don't get to get away with dishonesty. So it takes courage. And I mean courage. The willingness to be scared and still cause things to happen.
And Cleve, I'm just curious, looking at the American economy, are you an optimist or a pessimist about what's going on?
I am a guarded optimist. Guarded because I know there are things over which we don't have control. I don't mean money. I mean the way people think about business. It's obvious. We're at a very serious turning point. The question is, are we going to turn? Or are we going to try and do things the way we've done? The old Wall Street model is simply not going to continue to be effective. We've got to think of some things differently. Right now, a lot of the major leaders in the world are trying to do the same stuff with a few regulations added in.
Right.
We got to look deeper. I believe human nature is irrepressibly creative. And I believe if we are able to call on that aspect of ourselves, and that aspect that's willing to recognize that we can do well as we're doing good, then we're going to be in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
And fundamentally, I think long-term we will. The question is, how much suffering are we going to go through before we really wake up?
Exactly. Now, just to wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The only thing that I would say is, when people embrace this process, this sensibility about leading fully, a certain thing that we don't talk about in the workplace begins to emerge, and that's called joy. People begin to experience themselves in a joyful way.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's very difficult, but people really begin to understand that the workplace can be a place that is genuinely rewarding, and they can make connections, and they can experience joy.
We've been speaking to Dr. Cleve Stevens. Cleve, thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.